Welcome to God Knows Where. I'm Brett Harris. We are back with another full episode this week all about healing. This time, Jesus is healing our legs, not for a big leap, but for the long haul. I hope you enjoyed the homework assignment I gave you last week when we were off, and that I hope it also might have brought some healing to someone around you. Thanks for continuing to listen to God Knows Where. I know we've been back and forth between full episodes and other repeats and everything, so thanks for continuing to be with us. I hope we're on a run of new episodes for a long time coming over the next few weeks. And I learned just last week that a group at a church where some listeners attend is going to be using God Knows Where as a short-term Bible study. I think that's awesome. I think that's so great. I was so excited to hear that news. And I would love to say that if your church wants to do that or a group that you're a part of wants to do that, let me know. I'd be happy to help out in any ways that I can or to come talk with you more about it. So hit me up if that's something you are doing or are interested in doing, and I would love to know, and I'd love to help out however I can. So thanks to those folks who are doing this. I look forward to hearing how it goes, and I hope that all of you who are listening today enjoy today's episode, Leg Day. A reading from Matthew 9. And just then, some people were carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Then some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Stand up. Take your bed and go to your home." And he stood up, and he went to his home. When the crowd saw it, they were filled with awe, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to human beings. From the moment I watched Grant Hill leap high above the rim to throw down an alley-oop over a Kansas defender in the 1992 men's NCAA championship game, I knew that I wanted to play basketball wherever, whenever there was an opportunity. I wanted to play for as long as I possibly could. I played in every league that was available to me, and I went to every camp my family could afford and probably some that they couldn't. I watched old games and persuaded my parents to let me stay up late to watch some wild endings to rivalry games between Duke and UNC and to watch every minute of the ACC tournament, including when Randolph Childress from my beloved Wake Forest absolutely cooked UNC in 1995. I couldn't get enough of the game, and by the time this comes out, I will have stayed up well past my adult bedtime many nights in the last few weeks watching this generation's Grant Hills and Randolph Childresses, Caitlin Clark, Camila Cardoso, the DJs from NC State, Zach Edey, and so many more play this game I love and that I wanted to be able to play like them. But one night in Newland, North Carolina, that hope came to a crashing halt. Turning to catch a pass from a teammate for an easy layup, my body went toward the basket and my leg stayed put. I heard the loudest pop you can imagine, blacked out, still made the layup, mind you, and crashed to the ground. In a few minutes, my leg looked like one of those waving inflatable creatures you see at car dealerships. And I said a lot of words that did not make my parents proud to know that I knew, but they drove me to the hospital immediately, knowing that they could wash my mouth out later. The doctor in the ER looked at the x-rays and determined that it was just a bad sprain, but that I should see an orthopedist to confirm. I should be up and running and back to playing in 7 to 10 days, he said. So a few days later, I went to see Dr. Newell, whom we knew from our church, and he re-examined and tested my leg, and he had the rough job of telling me that it would be more like 7 to 10 months before I'd run again. I'd sprained ligaments and torn one in my knee. And I rehabbed as best as I could to get back to where I'd been, but the time I missed gave others a chance to play more and get better, and my basketball career effectively came to an end. The dreams I had of my legs carrying me to heights like Grant Hill had faded away. And instead, those legs carried me to other places, to the track, to the stage, to the church. It's important to remember that Jesus heals this man whose friends cared a lot about him to bring this man to Jesus, that he sends him home. He sends him, once he's been healed, to go somewhere he's already been, to go somewhere he goes all the time, maybe even to go back to the place he came to this house from, home. He doesn't heal him and then send him off on some far-flung mission to some far-off place. He sends him back home. I think about this a lot. I thought a lot about it over the last week and really over the last few months as I've helped plan a conference that looked at how it's time for the church to rethink the Great Commission, our name for what Jesus says to the disciples in Matthew 28, not Jesus' name for it. Thought a lot about how that calling has led thousands, if not millions, of people to get up from where God has changed their lives and traipse all over the world, further than they could ever go on their legs alone, to places they've never been, to attempt to share good news with people they've never met. And here, Jesus changes this man's life and sends him back home. He heals him, restores him, makes him whole once again, and sends him back to the places and to the people he knows best to tell that story about how Jesus made his legs work again. What does that mean for us? I think before we can answer that question, we might be better off answering another question first. How far can our legs carry us? And not to a car that can take us hundreds of or thousands of miles in a day. And not to a car that can take us hundreds or thousands of miles in a day, or to an airplane that can fly us around the world in not much more than a day, or to a space shuttle that can take us to the moon. How far can our legs carry us? There are lots of ideas about this. We know that the consensus is that 10,000 steps a day leads to a healthy life, and that's somewhere around 5 or 6 miles, depending on our stride. If we train well and we have the mental fortitude to persevere, we can run 10 times that in a day, and many do. People come to the National Forest near my house every year to run 50 miles through the woods, and I get tired just saying that out loud. Furthermore, Teddy Roosevelt also determined that in an ideal situation for people who were serving others, whether they were in the military or police officers or whomever, people who needed to be able to be physically fit. One way of determining whether they had physical fitness, according to Teddy Roosevelt, was that they should be able to walk 50 miles in 3 days. Whatever it is, these distances do not equate to the ends of the earth unless we add them up over time and supplement them with boats and bikes and other ways of getting around. What they do equate to is roughly the circumference or the out and back of traveling in one of our counties, the places we call home. And keep in mind, there's a difference between 10,000 steps that we can take regularly, every day even, without fail, and the 50-mile races or the weekend hiking trips that we do from time to time. We can walk 10,000 steps every day without much need for recovery. We can persist in that level of effort each and every day. If we're in impeccable shape, though, we can do those 50 milers, maybe at best, only a few times a year. So back to this question, what does this mean for us? I think sometimes we think that we get healed to do these really great things far away. Or maybe like I did that night in Newland, that the great things that we had planned came to an end when we got hurt and found ourselves in need of healing to get back out there to do the great things we had planned. But I think Jesus heals us not so we can go and do these really great things in our minds or in others, but I think Jesus heals us so we can get up and go around the corner, so we can head down the street, so we can go and share the good news of how our lives have been changed by this guy named Jesus only as far as our body can propel us. And more often, maybe even only, in the places we walk around all the time. Our homes, our neighborhoods, our cities, our towns. Does that mean we shouldn't go far? Does that mean we shouldn't use all these devices and vehicles we have at our disposal? That we shouldn't use them to go further, faster? Not necessarily. But I think it does mean that we should consider the context we're in and where we go and why we feel compelled to go further than our legs could ever carry us. We think that we get healed to do these really great things far away, and we forget the costs and the energy required to get there and to do them, and the context that we have to understand in order to be able to do that work well. We overlook the reality that using that energy in smaller, closer spaces means that we have more energy and more time and more capacity to share the ways God has transformed our lives or healed our wounds each and every day over and over again, to build relationships, relationships that become transformational in our lives as well. And think God heals us to send us maybe where we already are, to keep us in our context and to send us back to our homes. I'll leave you with this. Every church that I've ever known, maybe every church that you have ever known, maybe the churches you're a part of right now, I don't know, but every church I have ever known has patted itself on the back for the ways it uses what it has to send money and other resources to folks all over the world, making clean water available to people where simply drinking the water there can make one ill, and helping build schools and community development programs and sharing God's good news both directly with folks in other parts of the world and indirectly through the way that those who've gone live their lives. Every church I've ever known has patted itself on the back for this, but only one that I can think of has made a decision that mirrors the story we're told here in Matthew. Maybe there are more. Maybe you're in one yourself. But right now, I can only think of one. This church, they said, we're here. We've been healed by Jesus' presence and teaching in our lives, and we are compelled by that healing. We've heard Jesus say to us to go and make a difference where our legs will carry us, to that school down the road from where our church meets. And for nearly 20 years, they've done that. They've shown up to make a difference in the ways that they can in the place where they live. Not by changing the curriculum or the school structure, but by tackling the things that teachers and administrators shouldn't have to tackle and shouldn't have to tackle with their own funds. Painting rooms and repairing broken items and supplying the materials for celebrations and parties and volunteering to do things that take up time in large classrooms with limited capacity. They're making copies and answering phones and reading to kids during downtimes, or so that teachers can address pressing needs with students who need additional assistance. They're stepping in and being useful in ways that are helping to build up this school. And what's the impact of that work? Well, I know that correlation and causation aren't the same thing, but by the measures of the state where this church exists, the school was failing when they started their work there, and it's risen now to receive the highest rating the state offers in the last couple of years. And no one had to go far to make that transformation possible, to make that community better and that school better and help those kids and teachers and everyone involved in it better at what they were doing and better for what they were doing. No one had to go further or go travel long distances to make it happen. They just had to walk down the street. In this story in Matthew, Jesus heals a man who's been unable to walk for years, and he sends him right back home. Not with a message to be quiet like he does in other times where he heals people, but to share this truth where people know him, where they trust him, and where they'll be compelled by what he tells them because they already knew him. Jesus sends him to the place his legs can already carry him and no further. He sends him home. So maybe the question for us isn't how far can our legs carry us, but rather where can we go to tell a story of transformation in the places we already know, the places where our legs can carry us. I think if we can answer that question, if we can be willing to do that work in the places where we go, if we can hear that call from Jesus to go home with this message of transformation, we can make a big impact, maybe even bigger than any of our wildest dreams. God Knows Where is written, produced, and edited by me, Brett Harris, with music by Thomas Steinwinder and Michael Trest, and unwavering support from my wife, Elizabeth. If you like what you hear, I'd encourage you to share God Knows Where with your friends and family and give us a review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this show. It would mean the world to me, and it'll help more people find God Knows Where. Thanks in advance for your help and for being here and for listening. Until next time, take these words from William Sloane Coffin with you. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your minds and think through them, your eyes and see through them, and your hearts and set them on fire.